All right, so I'm going to introduce our first speaker. Now, Jacqueline, I sort of came across Jacqueline because somebody else mentioned her name as a branding and marketing expert. And but only up in Sutherland, so it's amazing the sort of people that you find. We fly people in from all around Australia, and Jacqueline's only 45 minutes up the road, so it was nice and easy. But Jacqueline's done some amazing things, so I just want to read to you her bio. So Jacqueline is a multi-award winning entrepreneur and is the CEO of Bold Connections, and she is a business and personal brand marketing strategist. She works globally with the clients to raise their profile and profits. They also receive media coverage, attract more clients, and build strong business relationships. In 2009, when Jacqueline and her husband were working in a multi-family business, her life changed irrevocably. A split in the business partnership left the family virtually bankrupt, homeless, and without employment. Jacqueline worked three jobs around the clock, juggling three children, which you just need a medal for, under the age of 5 years old, and rebuilt the family business. Today, Jacqueline successfully runs two companies and shoulders the responsibilities of a mum, wife, and multiple business owner. Regularly featured in the media, Jacqueline is an Amazon number one best-selling author, speaker, coach, trainer, and marketing strategist. So she's a remarkable woman as well as a remarkable business owner. So could you please stand up and give Jacqueline Bold a huge round of applause.
Before we start. So, is this full or empty?
Full.
I don't know why you decide I've sold it. Get the idea? What you have inside your brains, you can do anything with. You don't have to do what convention says you have to do. So I'm going to challenge you this morning to think a little bit differently. There we go. So welcome to a speed session in personal branding. Can anyone tell me what personal branding is? Lots of shaking heads. And no, I don't dress you. Okay? So misconception in Australia is that personal branding is a fashion stylist. And a lot of fashion stylists in Australia will, that's what they say they are. I do personal branding. It's really lovely. Clothes are great. Go buy them at the shops. Put them on your body. They're important, but it's actually not what personal branding is. So get ready to learn about what this actually is, because it's going to make a real difference to your business. Here we go. So personal branding is actually strategically building the credibility in your industry to set you apart from your competition. We all know the guy down the road. You know, the one who's always really busy, that's always getting the media coverage, that's always the one people are talking about, and you know your job, you do a job better than them. This is how you win. This is how you fill your books and you have a waiting list. So a little bit about me. Stephen gave you my bio. I am a mum of three kids. They're all in primary school, so Super Nan's got them this morning. And I don't know, anyone else got Super Nan? Anyone else juggling trying to work and kids and partners and spouses and... It's not easy, okay? But you're here, and that proves to me that you have the drive to do this. And so when you wake up one day and you say, there is no other option, you just go for it. Break all the rules. Because you know what? When you do things that are outside the square, that's where the magic happens. That's where the success is. If you're just the same old as everybody else, you don't stand out. So I am a business and personal brand strategist. I own a marketing agency and an automotive repair company. I know, two completely different things. And I'm also a PR consultant. So I get to make people lots of money every single day. I love my job. I get to play every day. Bring me a problem, I have fun. It's a little bit sadistic, but that's what we do. I am just up in the Sutherland Shire. So, you know, we're next door neighbours. I grew up on a beach. You have a great beach. I'm always down here anyway. So when I hear people say, oh, but I'm just a mum. Well, do you know what I say that to? I'm just a mum. But we're actually more than that because we're entrepreneurs. We have a dream and a goal, and you have to go for it. So you may have seen me in some of these places. I've been on TV. I get to play in the media. I get interviewed all the time. I apologise. My mugshot will be all through Sunday Life. I don't know if it's this weekend or next weekend, talking about crowdfunding. But I get to talk about business and growing businesses and marketing and PR at lots of places. My entire drive in life is to inspire, educate and challenge. So in our 75 minutes together this morning, that's what we're going to do. And feel free to hit me up with any questions you have. I'm here the entire weekend. But that's what I do every single day. Richard Branson's my poster boy. He is the easiest way I could start to describe to you what personal brand marketing is. It is marketing yourself. And if we think of Richard Branson, he has a brand. As an individual, can you appreciate that he is a brand? But underneath him, he has multiple companies. So whether you have your one business or you have multiple companies doesn't matter. You still need to have your own brand that has synergy with the businesses. So that if you decide you want to have different products or multiple companies or open a second branch, people will follow you to that next venture. And that's why personal brand marketing is really important. Because it makes you a magnet for clients. They end up wanting to come to you. I have more clients outside of New South Wales than I have in New South Wales. I've got a client who's a dentist in Las Vegas. It's pretty cool. I have a tax reason to go to Vegas. Right? It's very nice. I'm going to Hawaii next year. And I'm going to meet up with a client in Hawaii. So I get to have a holiday for my 15-year wedding anniversary and I'm going to meet a client at the same time. It's very cool. It allows you to do things. But imagine if you no longer had to chase clients. You no longer had to go hunting for work. You no longer had to worry about will there be enough money in the bank account next week. It's a nice idea, isn't it? Do you know it can actually change from being an idea to happening? The other thing that it does is it attracts the best staff. I get offers for people to volunteer to work for me for free because they just want to come and work and learn. They'll come and help out at my events for free. You know, that's really cool because I don't have to go hunting for, you know, the bee's knees of people anymore. They randomly rock up to me. I receive resumes regularly looking for work and good resumes, not just, you know, someone who randomly looked it up in the local paper. The other thing it does is suppliers, they want to give you stuff. They want to extend your credit. They want to take you out to dinner. They want to sponsor your events because you're a brand and you can have a local brand. Doing this doesn't mean you have to be global, but it still makes you a magnet for attraction. So whether you're a sole trader, show of hands, anyone's a sole trader here? Okay. Or, you know, you've got a small company, two or three staff. Anyone with two or three staff? Okay. Or, you know, you are an entrepreneur with multiple companies. Anyone here in that category? So we've got a little bit of everything. Fantastic. This is what you need to plug in. Personal brand marketing sits alongside and smashes together with your business marketing plan. And it's prehistoric. It dates back to our caveman days. If we go back to, you know, the way our DNA is hardwired, we are hardwired to interact with people, to remember faces, names, physical contact. We are not hardwired to remember that this is the glass we saw on the shelf. We are not hardwired to remember a business name or a logo. It's the interpersonal communication that we are DNA hardwired to remember. So when you have a personal brand and you're willing to put yourself out there, you speed up the attraction process of clients to your business because you then provide two ways that they'll come to it. Some will come because they hear and they see the sign or they received a flyer somewhere and someone said, oh, you know, go to Beauty by the Sea. But more people would come because they were told, you need to go and see Joanna, Joanna's great. Or you need to use Tom to build your house, he's brilliant. It's about that personal connection. It's all relationship building. When you do that, then you win the game. So you have to have a business brand. Everyone kind of understands that. Your business has to have an identity, a brand. It has its own values. You understand what it is. You've got its logo. I'm just going to put it out there. A logo is not a brand. It's just a visual representation for your business. So when you go to a graphic designer and they say, oh, we do brand, or even just a marketer that goes, we do brand, and you get like half a page and you get a logo and some colours, it's not a brand. Brand is much bigger. It's a strategy game, okay? And it's the starting point for every single business decision that you make in your business. But you have your business brand. And then next to that, you need to have your personal brand. So you have a complete strategy about yourself. Your values, your goals, what you need to be, what your colours are, where you're going, your short-term, your long-term goals, everything about you, how you're going to be presented to the world. From there, you have a business marketing plan and a personal brand marketing plan. And that's when we smash them together. So you end up with a very robust marketing plan because you're putting yourself in there as well. When you do that, you exponentially speed up the rate of clients and attraction to your business and the financial results. So effectively, you have two entry points for clients to come in, like I recently just said, so that some will come in purely because of they've heard about the business or they've walked past the front door, but the majority will come because they've been referred to you, recommended, seen you in the newspaper, heard you somewhere, but they're coming for the person's skills, your smile, your customer service. What makes you unique? That's what they're coming for. And this is why it works so successfully, because no longer are you attracting people with only one capture in, but you're using the way our brains are hardwired to actually remember things to attract people to come in, and so it happens faster. Does that make sense? You understand? Like, you know, if we think of not even going back prehistoric, but if we go back 100 years ago, and you know, the wives would hang over the back fence talking about which laundry powder was the best one to buy for the old scrubbing boards. But that was great. They were talking about the laundry powder, but then they say, "So go to Jim's corner shop and get it because he's got it." So yes, the laundry powder was great, but it was about Jim's corner shop, and go and see Jim because Jim was the one who could give it to you. So we want to evoke people to remember who you are. And then we can pass on your credibility through your team. It's called credibility by association. And we have to use very specific language to do that. So you don't have to think, oh my God, I'm going to get so busy that I can't take on any more work. No, you get to be the figurehead and you pass all that work down to your team to do by sharing your credibility with them. So you still get to be the magnet, the lead attraction into the business, but you don't have to do all the work. It's sounding pretty good, isn't it? You've got a few hairs going, yes. It's fantastic. I work when I want to work, on the clients I want to work with. Money goes in my bank account on wage day every single week. And my team, my clients love. People come for me, but they know I have trained my team. They know the skill set of my team, so they're very happy to work with my team. And this can happen in your business too. I just like this picture. So at the moment, you know, you're crawling along. You kind of feel like you're going at a snail's pace. You know, I'm going to fix the marketing. I'm going to fix the social media. I'm going to get, maybe I'll do some PR. Anyone scared of PR, by the way? Anyone scared of talking to the journalists and the media? Fess up. Be truthful. Yeah? Okay. They're just people. Okay? They're not scary. They actually love you if you've got a story for them because you make their job really easy. You know, so we're always going to do something. So we're crawling along. So typical marketing is out before. You know, it tracks along. It's quite consistent. It'll do its thing. You know, there's little things we can do to speed it up at times, but it will just do its thing. But when we throw in the personal brand marketing, well, we've just put a V8 in it. And it exponentially becomes faster. So how can you actually tap in to some personal brand marketing? What can you do literally starting right now? And the beauty about personal brand marketing is that for some of it, it will cost you absolutely nothing. $0. Really, really nice on the bottom line of the balance sheet. Here's the payoff. You can outsource 95% of your personal brand. Just stop and think about that for a sec. It's quite scary. Every day my team pretends to be someone else. So we are them on social media. We can write their blogs. We can publish their books. Everything but put them in front of a video camera. Technically we have had interviews for on their behalf with journalists. It's quite scary. But we do it as if we're them. We speak, we create the language, we write as if we're them, the way they would. That's what we do. So if you've got the money to, you can outsource all of it. Just like you outsource your business marketing, you can outsource your personal brand marketing. But if your budget is tight, well, the payoff comes in that you have to do it yourself. And the other payoff is that the less you have, the more time it's going to take. Labor-intensive time. Remember, you can always make more money, but you can never make more time. So you have to watch for that equilibrium point where it becomes more cost-effective to pay somebody to do things for you versus you spending 3 hours to do something that would take a professional half an hour to do. Because what's your time worth in your business earning income for 3 hours? So whatever you do with your marketing, business or personal brand, you're always looking at that payoff. Is it worth me, you know, sitting here trying to work out how to do something on my website for 7 hours and still getting it wrong and hating it, or just pay somebody that you know it's going to take an hour? And it's going to be exactly what you want and work the way you want. You have to remember that in this entire process. So as we're listening to these next parts, think about how you could start doing some of these right now. Now, as Stephen said, you know, I lost pretty much everything except my family. Three kids under the age of five, had to move in with my parents. For an independent woman, that nearly killed me for 9 months. But the only reason I was able to bring my companies, at that point, one company back and start another one, and actually have suppliers who, you know, we had in the previous company that we had to go through and pay out, come back and support us, is because I knew how to do personal brand marketing. Personal brand marketing is not something that is taught in university in Australia. Not properly. When I finished all my qualifications, you know, we all do, we learn our first skill set, we get, you know, our first qualifications in things, and we go out to work. Typical marketing degrees, they work in big business. So they were really great when I worked in the hospital system. They were really, really good when I worked for the Cancer Council Australia. Fantastic, you know, when we're doing things on Pink Ribbon Day and Daffodil Day. You know, they work exactly how they say they're going to work in your textbook. But when I went to work in our family business, they didn't work. And the reason is that small to medium-sized business is very, very different from large business. The budget's not there to start with. The support structure, the systems, there's usually no policies and procedures. A few faces going, yeah, still need to write those. Right, it's not there, and it's very, very different. So I realised very, very quickly that there had to be more to the equation to make things work for small business. So I went and studied with people in the UK, the US, New Zealand and across Australia that were specialists in real niche areas, speaking from stage, selling from stage, sales funnels, all different strategies, things you could boggle your mind and have brought it back to Australia. So I'm actually one of the only personal brand marketing strategists in Australia because no one has actually gone and done what I've done with all the different people. Actually, Trav Bell, that you're going to meet later on today, Trav and I actually did a speaking course together. That's how I met Trav 5 years ago in Melbourne. You know, the random people you come back in touch with after 5 years. He went off around the world, I went and had a few more kids. So this is really, really important because for some of you, you're not going to admit it, but you're either in a negative bank balance right now or there's nothing left at the end of the week. So when you have nothing else, you have a personal brand and this is how you're going to use it. You're going to create a strategy. Take notes. This is good stuff. People pay me insane amounts of money for this, guys. Like, lots of zeros. You want to take notes. A prayer is not a strategy. Hoping to God it's going to work is not a strategy. And ladies, a man is not a plan. The day my husband said to me, there's more money in your business bank account than mine, was the day he realised I knew what I was talking about. Because until then, I was just the nagging wife who was trying to tell him stuff about his business. So good. Love him very dearly. I've got him a different business coach. He listens to them. And I don't have to worry about him not doing what I tell him to do. So you need to have a strategy. It doesn't have to be difficult, but you need to have a plan. Every single thing you do must be strategic. Otherwise, you're wasting time and money. You have to know who you are, what you're doing, where you're going to do it, how you're going to get there, who your prime clients are. You have to know their demographic and their psychographic. You have to know your values, your goals. You have to know how you're going to grow your team. If you don't know that, stop. Or go back and do it. Because every decision you make in your business comes off the strategy. Your marketing plan comes from the strategy. The strategy slides into your business plan. What shirts you wear, what type of bottled water you buy for the office, what Christmas card you give out, all comes off your strategy. That dictates everything. So you need to have that first. And then you need to know your values. And your business will have its own set of values, and you as an individual will have your own set of values. And they will not be identical. The only time they'll be the same is if you're a sole practitioner, usually in a health field, and you're choosing to never have staff. It's always just going to be you as a consultant style. Otherwise, both sets of values will be different. And here's where the values come into play. People say, why do I need values, you know, in my business? It's a business. You hire on values. You hire on work ethic. The rest you can teach somebody. You ever hired staff and you feel like you're bashing your head against a wall? Even suppliers? Okay. This is because the balance of values is out. Your staff and your suppliers and even your customers don't have to share the exact same values, but they have to appreciate them. They have to realise that, especially for staff, that's what they're representing. And when they're in work mode, that's what they're abiding by. If they can appreciate them, even though if they're not identical to theirs, you won't be bashing your head against a wall. Because then everybody is there for a common goal. The common underlying purpose behind the business, which is those values, they're there. As an individual, you'll have your own values. It works the same way. Your staff have to appreciate your personal values. Or they're not going to understand why when you get the phone call at 2 o'clock in the afternoon from school and your child's broken their arm, you run out the door and take them to hospital to get a cast on and not whinge that, oh, she's never there. You know, you hear all these silly things. But if people appreciate your values, they understand why you do what you do. And the right people will be attracted to you because of those values. You know, people say to me all the time, so why didn't you just go bankrupt? Why didn't you just sign the dotted line? I wouldn't have had to lose my house or my cars and, you know, and everything was fine. It's like, well, I had to sleep for the rest of my life knowing I'd done the right thing. So I sold everything to pay every cent to my suppliers that was owed to them. None of them were secured. They were all family businesses just like us. Now, I could have taken the easy road and put a signature on a line. I've lost friends because we didn't do that. Because they can't understand why I would pay people what they were owed and just not make it easy. Do you know the number one question I got besides that was, so when are you getting divorced? Yeah. When personal finances go south, people asked my husband and I, so when are we getting divorced? Like it was just the next logical step. I kind of took my marriage vows seriously, better for worse, richer for poorer. Seriously tell you that the worse and poorer bit really sucks. really, really sucks. But I love my husband. But we share common values. So no different to a marriage where if the values are wrong, people end up divorced. It's exactly the same in business, except we're trying to marry 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 50, 200 staff together. Marry them on the values. Marry them to your values if you're going to have that personal brand. And your values, once you're putting yourself out there into the public arena, you need to know what they are, because you need to stand firm if someone asks you to do something that goes against your values. Because the minute you do, you're going to doubt yourself and hate yourself. It's going to annoy you and you're going to be uncomfortable. So know what you stand for. Your clothing and image. I know I said I don't dress you. I don't. But I do tell you, you have to look the part. There are lots of image consultants and stylists in Australia, thousands of them. If you need help, I know quite a few, happy to give you recommendations and referrals to people. But you have to look the part for your job. So you have to dress the part. So there's a couple of golden rules I'll share with you. Ladies, never expose your underwear. I know it sounds simple, right? We're not talking about visible panty line. We're talking about no bra straps hanging out, no sheer tops with a bra strap showing through. It's not professional, okay? Gents, make sure your trousers are up and there's no undies hanging out the top. Even as a grown man, I'm married to a tradie, right? Hoist them up. Belts are fantastic things, okay? Sure, you can buy one for about $15 at Kmart. There's little things. The way you dress and the way you look is the business card of you as a person. There is something called the first 15. Anyone heard of it? Yep. You want to share it with everybody? Yeah? That's okay. Stand up and share it with everybody.
No, I don't know if it's the right one, but it's the first 50 seconds is the count. It's the first impression.
Close.
That's what I knew about it. It's the first impression is what it counts.
Yeah.
What people see you like is what they perceive of your personality.
Perfect. So first impressions count. If you don't look the part and you are going into what you deem to be the biggest, your dream client, are they going to open the door? Are they going to take you seriously? Probably not. My hair, I actually have like a nun's habit worth of Shirley Temple ringlets. If I rock up to a meeting like that, I look about 15. Okay, don't get taken seriously. Have to actually spend the hours straightening the hair to kind of look the part. Or it gets pulled back in a bun. Little things. I'm not saying you have to wear a suit and tie, but you have to dress professionally for your industry. And as a business owner, you need to look like the owner. My husband's a mechanic, an auto electrician, an automotive bodybuilder. We own a trailer repair specialist centre in Caringbah. But when he goes to a meeting, he wears navy blue dress trousers, a button through shirt, sleeves rolled up, open collar, black polished shoes, and black socks. No white socks and black shoes, please. Completely ruins it all like that. So he looks like a business owner when he goes to a meeting. So just because you think, oh, this is what I wear when I'm on the job, stop and think about whether that's what you should wear when you're actually meeting people. Because the first 15 counts, the first 15 words you say, the first 15 inches of how you look, and the first 15 steps you take into a room. That's when someone makes up their impression in their mind of you. So when you consider that you take those first 15 before you open your mouth, they better be pretty good steps. So clothing and image really, really does matter. I can't stress that to you enough. So have a think about what can you do if you're not getting the clients you want right now. Think of the little things. Think about what's in your wardrobe. Okay? Natural makeup for ladies. You know, cleanly shaven or tidy facial hair for men. It's not difficult. If you wear glasses, I wear glasses, I'll be back on after I get the headset off. Make sure you actually clean the lenses and you haven't got fingerprints on them. Little things sometimes. Polished shoes. And ladies, if you're going for a big meeting, always wear a closed-toed shoe. It's deemed more professional than an open toe, even more than a peep toe, okay? If you're going to be dealing with Americans as a woman, you must wear pantyhose, even if it's 38 degrees like it is today, because that's what they expect. So if you're dealing with cross cultures, you need to know what's deemed acceptable to them. It's not overly difficult to make little changes. One of the biggest things as well is jeans. I'm a jeans loving girl. Hands up if you love your jeans. If I could live in shorts, jeans and a t-shirt, that's me. And that literally is when I'm not at work, that's what I wear. But you can't wear jeans to a business meeting because they're deemed casual. It's all subconscious strategy that we play with. If you're deemed to be looking casual, you mustn't be professional. So if you're not professional, why should I pay you money to do what you do? So what we're trying to do in all of this is remove any subconscious trigger that's going to stop somebody from spending their money with you. So everything we do is a strategy game. And it's strategy and psychology, pretty much where it all comes from. Body language. You know, I could stand here like this, I could cross my legs, I could slouch, I could sit on the edge of the desk. You know, I could come up and go, you know, well, hey, how are you? You having a good day? Can you see how this changes the way I look? Yet how many of us lean on something when we're talking to a client? Okay, I'm going to bespoke over here. You do, don't you? I do too, it's okay. And we do at times. But there's different things to be aware of. When you stand up tall, you stand in a position of authority. So when you stand straight, shoulders back, chin prone to the floor, if you're speaking to somebody, stand still. It's actually really hard to do. But that projects a subconscious anchoring image of success and strength and professionalism. The minute you change one thing, a cross of the leg or a hand on the hip, heaven forbid you stand here with your arms crossed, closed off, because you obviously don't want any money because you're stopping it. You change everything. So sometimes the littlest triggers in body language can make huge impacts because our body language speaks 80% of what we're saying. So more comes from our body language than what comes out of our mouth. So the body language is really important. Another one's a handshake. It's a pet peeve of mine. Okay? Nobody likes one of these handshakes. And gents, always give a woman a firm handshake. As a gent, if you come up to me and give me an absolute, excuse the language, but a real piss weak handshake, I'm going to go, what's wrong with you? Right? And as a woman, don't be scared to shake a man's hand or another woman's hand. Right? Firm. Actually make it move. Don't just kind of hold it there waiting for them to do something. Okay? You have to move the hands. Right? It's an important part of the way we greet people. So make it firm. You really actually can't strangle somebody's hand off, right? It's not documented anywhere in the world. Firm handshakes say a lot. Again, it's part of that body language. It's anchoring. And if you shake a hand firmly, then it shows that you're confident in yourself and what you do. So never be scared to give a firm handshake. And none of these, please. No sort of wimpy, wussy, jelly handshakes. Now we get into some more fun stuff. Blogging and vlogging. Who knows what vlogging is? Trish?
It's blogging but with video.
Yay! It's blogging with video. Okay. So if we're all about personal brand and it's about putting yourself out there a little bit, you don't really have to go that far, but putting yourself out there, can you appreciate that blogging and vlogging and passing on your knowledge and your point of view is good? Yeah. One, it's great for SEO and Google loves relevant new content on your website, so it, you know, helps bolster up the ranks and all this other great marketing stuff that we do with them. But you're sharing your point of view. Every blog you put out there, if you've got it on your website, is also independently Google searchable. So there's more ways for people to find you, which is always good. We want people to find us as many places as we possibly can. But if you're not scared of a camera, or learn very quickly to not be scared of one, vlog. Do it with video. Create a YouTube channel. We'll get to that in a second. But you can, instead of typing it, sitting there writing it or drafting it, make some points, stick them up on the wall. And these do not have to be Hollywood standard videos. Hands up if you have a smartphone. Right. Did you actually know they have a video function on it? Yes, use it. If you need to clamp it up, you can go and get some of those little screw clamps from Bunnings and Masters from the hardware stores, and you can clamp them onto a pole and take a video, or have someone stand there, okay, and just hold it. You don't have to worry about lighting and everything else. You are better to have something out there than nothing. And video, putting yourself forward, people get to know you without actually having met you. So I do a combination. I blog sometimes, so I type them, and sometimes I make video. And I vlog my blog. So again, it's short, sharp, 30 seconds, minute and a half, that's it. So really not much. And for those of you who hate typing, it's brilliant. And you can stand there and you can, you know, record half a dozen at a time, quickly just edit them up, learn to do them in one take. Comes with practice, where you just say it from start to finish, so all you have to do is trim the beginning and the end and just chop them off. There's free software that does that for you on the internet. Most of your computers will have it already on it. If you've got Macs or PCs, there's free software. And then you put it out there to the world, and you put it on your blog, but as the video. What happens is when people hear you talking, so they've heard your voice, they're looking at you, plus they're getting the content. Versus just reading the content. Can you see how all of a sudden there's three psychological triggers to vlogging versus one for blogging? And remembering, go back to our lovely caveman prehistoric days, what are we actually DNA hardwired to remember? Faces. Interactions. So they're hearing you, they're seeing you, plus they're getting your point of view on something. Often I'll go to an event and people will come up to me and say, oh, it's so lovely, I feel like I know you. Because they've watched blogs, you know, they're reading them on their iPads in bed before they go to sleep. So you can actually have people feel like they have a relationship with you and you've never met them. It's kind of cool when you think about it. So that by the time they walk into your business or they ring you for building works, they feel like they know you. One layer of that sales process has already been broken down. Because they're comfortable. Because, okay, first up, we all cyber stalk these days. So that's what I call it. But in a good way, not the bad stalking. As in, we do all of our research on people and companies we want to use online. We sit there and we look them up. You know, Stephen invited me to come and speak today. The first thing I did, I went and Googled Stephen. Found out lots about him. Not only does he do this, he's married, he's got kids, he's got a clothing line. You know, we've done a few bits. Only the breakthrough for business was, you know, scattered throughout, does lots of things down here in the Wollongong region, you know, found his Facebook page, his LinkedIn, etc., etc. Okay. And then I rang him. So if there are things there where you can put your face to them, do it. If you are scared of it, please blog. Is there anybody, and be honest, remember this is a place for you guys to grow for the next 2 days. We're here to help you. And be honest, put your hand up if you don't blog or you don't vlog. So you're not putting your point of view or your content out there. Do you want to be seen as an expert in your industry? Do you want to be seen as the person they just seriously must use? You're the best one that they should be ringing. So if you're not putting... There should be big yeses there, guys. Come on. Yes. If you're not putting your point of view and your content out there, then you're just another nobody. It's a little bit like the business owner who goes into business, registers the ABN, puts the sign on the door, opens it, and sits there and just thinks the work's going to walk in the door. No. Facebooking is not blogging. No. Okay. Excuse me just 1 second. Okay. Social media is one way to share your blogs, but it is not blogging. So you could share your blog and your vlog on Facebook, but just actually the post on Facebook is not blogging. So a blog typically, somewhere between 300 and 500 words. Not much, not many. Here's my biggest tip. Who hates typing? And I can guarantee most of the men are going to put their hands up. Who hates sitting at a computer? Right. I sit at a computer all day long, but I still hate typing. You know, my very first job out of study, full-time study for 3 months, was being a medical typist in a radiology practice. Yeah, until I got the gig to grow medical practices and stuff like that. You know, if you hate it, also on your smartphones is a great little invention called a recorder. Just turn it on. You can even do it in the car while you're driving. Obviously, don't play with your phone while you're driving. But, you know, if you're there, pull over, switch it on if you've got an idea, and just talk into your phone. And then you give it to a transcriptionist who types it up. And then if you don't want to, you know, make it all pretty and edit it yourself, you give it to a copy editor who will turn it into something that's completely legible. And you've got a blog. And all you've had to do is talk into your phone. So you can even blog when you hate typing. And video. Get your content out to the world. The other thing is that people will read your point of view on something and they may comment on it or they'll call you on it. They're going to love it or they're going to hate it. But remember, your values come into play here as well. We talked about the values. If you're putting content out to the world with your point of view, your values would obviously back that up. So if they don't like your point of view, you don't want them as a client because you're not going to see eye to eye. But if they like your point of view, what's the likelihood that you're going to like working with them and they're going to be good to work with? Because perhaps you share an appreciation of something similar. So you start to attract the right clients through your blogs and vlogs if they're being read by them. Yes?
How often would you suggest doing it? Would you do it on a weekly basis or like when you have something to say?
Different businesses require different things. I would say to start with, go for one a month. One a month. If you're doing nothing, aim for one a month. Only because there's a lot of other benefits. You know, you've got regular content being fed onto your website, which Google likes for search rankings, all these things like that. But you want to be showing that you have relevant content. If something happens in your industry and you need to put out three that month, but you regularly only put out one, do it. There's no right or wrong. What works for your business? But you need to make a call. Don't do three and then don't do any for a year. Because when somebody goes to your website and sees that you haven't added something for 12 months, you don't look so good. Because you look lazy. And if you look lazy, do they want to come play with you, your business? No. So you have to be consistent in everything you do. The other thing is that your blogs can help you garner PR. They can help get you coverage in the media, be it your local, you know, the Illawarra Mercury, whether it's the Sydney Morning Herald, The Age, you know, the Today Show on Channel 9, international coverage, industry blogs. You know, people, you get invited to speak at lovely events like this. This is where a lot of that comes from, because when people are researching you, your blogs and vlogs are very easy to be found. Why is this not? And then we have YouTube. Hands up if you have a YouTube channel. Hands up, keep your hand up if that channel's for work. Okay. YouTube is fantastic because it allows you to have your own small media portal. Think of your YouTube channel, instead of calling it your YouTube channel or your YouTube account, think of it as your YouTube TV. Okay? So I have Bold Connections TV. I have Bold Trailers TV. You put your catalogue of videos that, and your vlogs, if your vlogs are there as well, not only on your website, but you put them on your YouTube as well, as bigger videos. So video is not just the vlogging. While that is really, really important, and I highly recommend if you're going to blog or vlog, vlog. But video can be something like this. You've been recorded at an event, or you're creating an advertising or promotional video for your business. Perhaps you're doing a little demonstration video. So everything gets smushed together that's in a video format on your YouTube account. It's Google searchable. It's Google rankable. Google likes video. Anyone realize that Google likes video more than written content? See where we're going with this? Yet it's visual. People like visual. So you want to make sure that you have your mugshot, right? As much as you love it or you hate it, in video. So there's other ones besides YouTube, but YouTube is the one that most of you will know. It's very, very user-friendly. You know, it automatically interacts with your Google Plus pages. It's very, very easy to manage. So by putting that out there, you will find that you might make a video, either put one of your vlogs on your YouTube or a longer video on a product demonstration, and you do all your keyword coding in the back and all the other bits that need to be done with it. But if someone is searching for caravan repairs Sutherland Shire, right? And, you know, up comes a list of a whole lot of rubbish, really, because there's only one caravan repair place in the Sutherland Shire. This is a true, I know this one. but I made a 30-second video. It comes up, paid ad, ranked number one, my video. I took the video 5 years ago. It's 30 seconds long, was made on an iPhone with, shall we call it, minimal editing, if it had any. I don't remember. It was back in my very early days of videoing. And it still ranks and is there on page one. So it gets a lot of views. And people will ring my husband and say, oh, I just watched your video on X. I have this problem. Can you help me? Pretty nice way to get clients, isn't it? So video is really, really important. And then when they come in and they see that he looks exactly like he does on his video, whatever he tells them needs to be done, it's so much easier for them to actually agree or understand, because the fear of I don't know you's gone. Again, it's visual. They've seen him. It breaks down those buying barriers. It breaks down some of that wall that we put up when something's new and different and strange. It also helps that people feel comfortable that they can find out stuff, love the word stuff, great technical word there, whenever it suits them, after hours, midnight, with screaming kids on their lap, while they're waiting in a doctor's office. They can still get what they need and then contact you when you say it's okay for them to contact you, in your set work hours. So you are no longer limited to only being able to attract clients between, say, 9 to 5, you now have a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week, 365-day of the year way for people to see and hear and experience you. Social media, who's scared of it? Who thinks they suck at it? There's a lot of this going on, guys. Everyone's a bit shy to admit it, right? There are lots and lots of social media platforms. We're going to hear about a lot of them over the next 2 days. So I'm not going to delve into this too much, but you have to have social media to have a good personal brand. You have to put yourself out there. And guess what? A lot of it's free. Remember I said there's a lot of really free stuff. So making a video on your iPhone, free. Editing it with the free software, free. Sharing it on social media, free. The only thing you have to pay for is some of your time to do it. So if your budgets are small, do the free stuff. This is good content that you can share on social media. But whatever social media you choose to do, you have to do it well. Or again, you look like you don't know what you're doing. If you look like you don't know what you're doing, you don't get the clients. So you have to be consistent with your social media. Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, Google+. There's so many things, but they're the big ones that you can think of, right? You don't have to have them all. You have to have what matches your strategy. Remember that strategy I said that everything comes from it? Go to your strategy, look at your prime clients. The reason I use the word prime client, not ideal client, is prime number is only divisible by one and itself. They are only the number one clients. the clients who love what you do, pay your bills on time, and refer you to other people, rave about you. You turn them into raving fans. And so they send you more clients who love what you do, pay their bills without, you know, causing a fuss over them, and refer you to more clients. These are the number one. You only go after them. When you are laser focused on who you need to attract to your business, who you're going to work with, where they are and what they're doing, and you only advertise to them, and you'll have more than one. You know, typically people, businesses have, you know, between two and four. And you strategically go after them, you shrink your advertising spend. So if you're doing, if you keep the advertising the same of what you're doing, your cost becomes less. Or you can keep your budget the same and do more to attract more of those people. Social media, you've got to look at who your clients are and which social media platforms they're hanging out on. If you deal business to business and it's medium, corporate business, professional businesses, probably thinking you want to be hanging out on LinkedIn. If your business, though, deals with tradies, they're not on LinkedIn. They're hanging out on Facebook, if they're on at all. There's businesses that don't need social media for their business because their clients aren't on social media, so that we have a personal profile for them, so that we're building their online reputation, but they don't need to spend a lot of money in garnering people there. Not many of those businesses, but there's a few around. If your business is catering to mums, specifically mums of children under the age of 10, Facebook from like 7 to 9:30 at night. Surprisingly, for a lot of you are going to think this, but women over the age of 50 are on Facebook. Right? The kids took it up, then our generation took it up, now my mum's got a Facebook account.
My mum's killing me at the
moment. How's she killing you?
I've defriended her twice and then killed her.
Oh, I love it. You've got to look after your mums. I've got my mum's super nen, so you know, we've got to look after super nen. She's all good. But it was funny because she goes, oh, when she got on Facebook, she's like, do you do all this stuff? Yes, mum, what do you think I do every day? So it's quite exciting, but it's really cute because she gets on there and she writes, oh, congratulations, darling. So I've got all these really nice messages from people, then I get this darling one. It's like, oh, yeah, that's my mum. And she's the same to my husband. So it's very cute. You know, you get this message. And then she signs off in there, love mum and dad. She's got her name on the front, but it's okay. She's on there and she's discovering that, you know, how did I know so much about what was going in the extended family? Well, they're all on there. So it's good. But if you have, you know, clients in their age bracket, don't just dismiss the fact that they won't be on social media. They are. They're getting on there in drones. But what you do on social media can make or break you. Okay, so here's a really good rule. No drunk texting, sexting, Facebooking, tweeting, right? We do a lot of Monday morning social media cleanup. I have seen some highly inappropriate things on social media. Everything gets cached. Everything gets saved. Just because you might put it up and delete it 5 minutes later, whoops, could be too late. The wrong person's already seen it and saved it. I don't use social media for personal reasons. Only business. So even my Facebook account, you know, you sign up. Has everyone got Facebook? Okay, so you're going to know what I'm talking about. So you sign up to Facebook and you get a profile, which is your personal profile. People can be friended, playing in that sphere, and then you realise there's business pages on top of it. So you have to have a business page for the business. You have to have a business page for yourself under your personal name, and you have your personal profile. Don't use it as a personal tool. Tell everybody that you're a business person, and this is a business tool. Don't share things about your kids. There's too many loonies in the world. So you won't see pictures of until 9 months ago, you never saw pictures of my kids. I don't name them on social media. I don't even say the suburb I live in. On Facebook, I live in Sydney. Don't mention things. Don't tag that you're at their school. Don't put a photo up that you're at the school's P&C meeting or, you know, kindy mum's night out, dad's golf day out, Bunnings barbecue, whatever it might be. Because there are loonies out there. Now, I know a lot of you say, oh, but you don't hear about it. But do you know what? The most common popular one that people can remember is the Maddie Pulver collar bomb. And it wasn't even directed at her dad. He stuffed up the house. But one business person had a gripe with another, so he thought he'd go and, you know, make a threat to a life. So my son, my eldest Nicholas, who now has a personal brand, and he's just turned 12. He wrote a book at the age of 10. At the age of 11, he became an Amazon number one best-selling author. Nearly killed me to give him a public profile. He doesn't have a Facebook page. He's too young. You've got to be 13 by law. That's what I'm telling him. It is true, but that's what we're sticking with. He's not allowed in. So it nearly killed me to actually put photos of him up, create a business page. He's been on TV. He got interviewed in the US. They're trying to get him in the Huffington Post and stuff at the moment. It's very cool. He set me a goal over Christmas. He tells me he wants to be on the Ellen DeGeneres show. No dramas, just, you know, just because mum needed something else to do. I told him when he starts paying for my services, maybe. But he works hard. He stamps a lot of envelopes. You've got to be careful with every single thing you put out there. It has to be controlled. So the way I control the account for my 12-year-old is the way you need to think about what you control, what you put out for yourself. If you were controlling an account and what you shared on social media for your kids, are you being that strict and diligent with yourself? If you don't want to be tagged in inappropriate photos, you can actually remove that function. It's in your security settings that people can't tag you in photos. People keep trying to tag me in photos of, like, you know, the kindergarten photo. We're all lined up in our little uniforms. Not so good for me right now. And again, the school's near where I still live. I don't want people knowing anything about, you know, where I went to school, because if they'd ever trigger when I talk about that, you know, I still live in the same area, the risk is there. So treat your social media profile with kid gloves. Be very, very careful what you put out to the world. I'm not saying censor everything. You have to be yourself, but stop and think. If you don't want it on the front page of the Sydney Morning Herald, don't stick it on social media. No, you use it in the opposite way. Friend everybody, right? All of you need to friend me on Facebook. Find me on LinkedIn, Google+. We link up, we stay connected. This is the difference. If you use it as a business portal and not a social, you know, free-for-all tool, you can use it to keep in touch with people all around the world in a professional sense that builds your credibility. Every single thing is to build your credibility. Exactly the same way as going to a networking event. This is a networking event you're at now. We're at a two-day training, but you have the ability to get to know everybody here. And I challenge you to have a conversation with every single person, swap business cards, don't spam them, but find out about what they do. Because some of the best joint ventures you will ever find come from people you've met at training events. Because you're trying to better yourself and so are they. So there's a common shared value. You can find great clients at events. But don't go to a networking event to sell. Because I can guarantee you, no one goes to a networking event to buy. Go to build relationships. Look the part. Take your collateral, your business cards. Have everything ready to go. Speak. Think about your body language. Go and meet people. If you don't meet people and growing your network, you're not going to grow your business. I spoke about the joint ventures and events like this being really good to meet joint ventures. Does everybody know what I mean when I say a joint venture? Anyone a bit lost with what a joint venture is? Yep, okay. So a joint venture is where, if you think of two businesses or two business people from different companies come together to co-do something or to have a relationship with something, with somebody together to move forward with their business. So you might joint venture on an event. You might joint venture with a tender. Two skill sets come together to fill the need for a tender. You might joint venture on writing a book. Yeah, you don't have to do it all yourself. So joint venture is a really powerful way to increase your reach of your message and your business by partnering with somebody. They share your content and what you do. You share theirs, and effectively you've just possibly, depending on the number of people they have, doubled your reach. So joint ventures are very, very effective and powerful. And you really do need to think about who you can JV with to grow your business. But you have to be smart. JV contracts. A lot can go wrong in a JV, so you need to set very, very clear boundaries. But joint ventures can build your profile. So I'm here, you know, with Trav Bell and Stephen and everyone else and all you guys. So a sneaky way to build your profiles and joint ventures is, like, I've already tweeted, I'm here, this is my office. I've put up a, you know, took a picture of Stephen. I'm here with Stephen, looking forward to kicking it off on Facebook. Using this joint venture that we're here together to create something for all of you to build my profile, but also promote Stephen to mine. You can joint venture in really little ways, right? So this is where you put your JV and your networking and your social media together. Every single one of you needs to get a photo with me on Facebook over the next 2 days. And you'll friend me so I can tag you. And then all of a sudden, you've been tagged as a business person who's at an event with a businesswoman who does business globally. All of a sudden, do you think you just still look like the little person who's in Wollongong? No. So if you know people, you must be good. So you can have your personality skewed in your favour by utilising all of these wrapped up together. PR and media coverage, one of my favourite topics. PR is really good. PR is being covered in the media, which features you as the expert. An expert comment, could be a whole article written about you, but you have not paid for advertising. Okay, our brains are really good when we read the newspapers. We don't even notice the ads anymore. Most newspapers will have the articles in the same spaces, the same number of words on each page, day in, day out, every publication. If you've been featured in the media, that could be on blogs, someone else's blog, newspapers, magazines, TV, radio, podcasts, industry publications, that positions you as an expert. The minute you can say, as seen in, as featured on, if you have a competitor next to you, or there's two of you, plumber A and plumber B, right? Same suburb, both unblocked toilets. But plumber B, on his website, has a scene in the Illawarra Mercury. But plumber A doesn't have that. And they can click there and read the article. And if someone's sitting on the fence, well, they both do the same thing, but the media goes to this one, who are they going to use? Plumber B. So you need to have media coverage and you need to have a PR strategy in your business, because not only does it build your business brand, but it builds your personal brand, which then opens up more opportunities. The minute you get one media coverage, more media wants to talk to you and it starts to snowball. It's very effective for your personal brand. And great, because it drives sales into your business without fail. Nicholas, my 12-year-old, was on the Today Show a couple of months ago, and we did the stats. He sold 275 books in 2.5 hours after he was on TV. Not bad. 11-year-old kid at that time. So, you know, that was a $15 book. Imagine what it could do to your business if it was actually driving in thousands of dollars worth of transactions. The other thing with the PR before we go is that you need to submit press releases on a regular basis, monthly at a minimum. They need to be part of your marketing plan. They are two separate things, but it has to be in there, because if you're not, the time you really have a great idea and want to get picked up by the media, they're not going to acknowledge you. Language. The words you use are important. Somebody and anybody equals nobody. The way you say them. the speed you say them at, the diction you put on your words, and the language that you use to introduce other people in your business plays a big part. So you constantly have to think of your language. I'm not saying don't swear. For some people, swearing is part of who they are. Okay, I swear, that's fine. But be mindful of where you are and using the right language for the situation. Reputation management is knowing what others are saying about you. So part of your personal branding is to control your reputation. Now, everything we've talked about with the PR and the social media and the vlogging and the blogging helps control all that. So if there ends up being one or two negative things on the web, you know, that wonderful tool we all have access to, because, you know, not everybody's going to love you, deal with it. It's not your problem, okay? The more good you have, it pushes all the bad down out of the first couple of pages. So you can use personal branding to control your reputation. Publishing. This is my son's book. Well, my son and I, we co-wrote it. Here's my business book I've written. Okay, this one, I cheated. I wrote it with four people. It's not cheating. It was just being smart. Okay, it's there. But the minute you publish, you have a higher perceived level of credibility. And yes, a plumber can write a book. A skin technician can write a book. Right? You just have to know what you're using it for. It comes down to strategy. And then write it accordingly. But publishing makes you an expert in your field. So you write about your field. The minute you're published and you're an expert, the media wants to talk to you because, well, hang on, you've written a book, so you must be good. Can you see how all of a sudden it's all about changing perspective of how people think about you?
Yeah.
What kind of cost is involved in publishing a book?
It's a conversation for after this. There's lots of... depends on how you want to publish. So from you know, a couple of thousand through to a lot. Testimonials and reviews. Who has a Google Plus page? Who has Google Plus for business? Okay, you realize you can get reviews on that? You want to be asking your clients to leave reviews on that. You want to get testimonials the good old-fashioned way, you know? Written is lovely, but video them. Grab out your smartphone and say, oh, Trish, that was great. Can you just give me a quick testimonial, 10 seconds? Just tell me who you are, what you had done, and what you loved it about us. Thanks very much. Is it okay if I share it on my social media? They'll say, yeah, no dramas. You know, I've had two people in like 7 years that have said no. If you don't ask, you won't get. But you got the video. So then you put it on YouTube, under the little testimonials bit, and you can stick it on your website, and all of a sudden, it's real. And again, personal brand, visual connection.
Yes. We do that every time. I'm a renovation builder as well. When we do all our contract signings, we actually have a sheet that says, would you agree to do a video testimonial? Do you agree for us to put before and after photos and all that type of stuff?
Beautiful. Perfect. Now, have you ever read a website and read written testimonials and thought, nah, I wonder if they're real? I do. I've looked at my own website and went, I'm sure someone's going to look at them one day and go, that can't be real. You didn't make this woman like 40 grand in 3 months. So you video them and you put the video on and then it's not you and it doesn't look like Hollywood studio because you're taking on your smartphone. So obviously you haven't paid for it. So it must be real. So again, it's a subconscious trigger when that person's saying, oh, Jack was great, Trish was great, Anya was great. It's layering your personal brand with credibility. Again, that you can't buy. So it's a really important part. And when you do all of this, you get recognised. Wouldn't that be nice? I know we have tall poppy syndrome here in Australia, but we have to get over it. Don't think about it as sticking your neck out. Think of it as attracting to your business the clients, the money, and the success you want. And it's not just what you want, it's what you deserve. There's a difference. You might want it, but you may not be willing to work for it. But if you're working for it, you deserve it. You see how there's a difference there? So be recognized, stand out, and stop the guy down the road doing the second-rate job getting your clients. Because if you're letting them go there, you're doing them a disservice, especially if you're better. So thank you so much for letting me talk to you about personal brand marketing. Does it make more sense to you now? Especially when, you know, someone said, oh, I think it's clothing to me this morning. I said, oh, you're going to learn it's not. That's just a little bit of it. This is like personal branding 101 on steroids, speed style. This is not even the very, very tip of the iceberg. It goes down so many layers. So I've got a whole lot of freebies for you on my website, which is boldconnections.com. I've actually put on there for the next week, there's a whole 9-part interview series, normally $100. It's free if you grab it over the next couple of days, all on various levels of improving your networking so you can talk to people and get money. And there's some social media guidelines and stuff you can get for free. But I'm also going to give away my book that's at the front here because I'm lazy and can't be bothered taking it home. So if you all put your business card in here. All right, pop it up. Susan Ferry. I'll autograph it for you a bit later too if you like. So thank you very much. I'm here for the whole 2 days. Come and bug me as much as you like. Now I put it out there, I'm going to get, 50 photos by Facebook. ask heaps and heaps of questions. And, you know, don't hold back. If you have a question you want to ask, ask it. There's no stupid question. The only stupid one is the one you don't ask. Okay? Thanks very much.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Jacqueline. That was excellent. Did you guys enjoy that?
Yes. Well done. Thank you.
Microphone kiss there. Why don't you stay here for a sec, Jacqueline? We can. Yeah. So we all love that. We've got Jacqueline here now, and I think that was a pretty great way to start our 2 days. So, anybody got any questions, or would you like to share? You know what your big takeaway was, Pete?
Yeah, that was good. Just in regards to creating your personal brand on Facebook.
Yep.
I had a large account with. I'm in the paintball industry, and sadly, within the paintball industry, there is what I call tools.
They're in every industry.
Yeah. they call themselves professional players. So unlike Johnny Vines, who has to be talented to do what he has to do, these guys don't need to be talented. They just can shoot a lot of paint. what I found was, though I built this big following, that part of our business and those people, when we went through our pillars, was we actually lost money on that. So I actually removed them all from my Facebook, and we've removed that business from the business. So as I look forward to go into, and anyone that's friends with me on Facebook, it's either the ocean or my son, pictures, as we move forward, I'm trying to find the benefits of creating a personal brand, whether I create another page, because I just don't see the benefits right now for me, because I've been through that process and it was quite a negative process. So I'm just grappling with that. Did that make sense?
A little.
Yeah.
Can I? Okay.
Yeah.
So let me just say this back, so let's see if I've got this right. You had a personal page, but it was obviously quite personal, and you had all the friends of the paintballing, which has a negative under element there.
Yeah, quite a lot. Yeah, mostly. Yeah.
Trying to be a little bit delicate.
Yeah. So
basically, it sucked.
It was because they're fairly negative people. So yeah. It was just not a great experience, and you've just gone through it. We've got this revelation that you just don't respond to people that are negative on Facebook. You know, you don't give them oxygen. But it just wasn't a great experience, and I actually just cut all those people from my Facebook. It's from the same page because they just. I don't know, it's just a funny thing.
But this is where your strategy comes in.
Yeah.
So have a think of it, guys. I can't give you an answer because I don't know your strategy.
Yeah.
Your business strategy, your personal brand strategy. That would dictate whether you do this again. One, I would say majority, yes, you do, but you do it smart.
Yeah.
You do it on strategy. Those people weren't your prime client.
No.
So the whole lot last time was done wrong. And not according to who you needed to attract, so it was off strategy. The minute you're off strategy, everything goes pear-shaped.
Yep.
When you're on strategy, everything is on brand, everywhere, because every decision comes back to that strategy, comes back to your brand. So what a brand effectively ends up being three words. And what happens is that if what you want to do matches 3 out of 3, you can have it. If it matches 2 out of 3, you can have it. If it only matches 1 out of those 3 words, you've got to seriously question whether it's worth having it in the business. So the same goes with the prime clients. When you advertise a market to attract prime clients, people who are not your prime client are still going to be attracted to you, and they'll come to you. It's up to you whether you friend them, like them, work with them, whatever it might be, in what aspect. But your strategy will dictate how, what, and who, and where you would take it. And you don't have to grow a strategy, grow a Facebook page to have like 10,000 likes and friends, etc. Well, you can't have 10,000 likes, 10,000 friends. You can have 10,000 likes on a page. But you might have 50 people, but those 50 people are interacting with you on that Facebook page. So it's quality over quantity. I know a lot of people go, oh, but I've only got 126 people. But if 100 out of 126 are actively involved on your Facebook page or commenting every couple of weeks, that's good, right? You don't want to have 2,500 people on your Facebook page and you've attracted the wrong people and 2 people are commenting. That's not so good.
No. It's a little bit like this room. We've got an amazing room because we've got an amazing energy. So your Facebook, your LinkedIn, everything else, we have the option to go, yes, we do, or no, we don't. If I let the wrong person in this room, we've got such an amazing energy. It takes one person, one negative person, to suck the energy out of this and to change the whole thing that we've got going in here. So it's the same as your social media strategies. You say, yes, I want you as a friend. Yes, I want you as a as a connection on LinkedIn. But like Jacqueline said, as long as you've got that overarching strategy of what is it? Is it about my personal brand? Or is it about that business brand? You'll know who you want through the door. Mm. Is that helpful? Jacqueline, smash that.
Mm.
Pardon?
I've
only got the one.
Next week.
Next week. Alrighty. So, guys, I think that was pretty good. Very, very good, actually. A wonderful way to start the day. So,
thank you
very much, Jacqueline.
Thank you so
much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.